In this segment, we're going to talk about content development, and you know, as a general category, think about this as two different components, really the same thing, but think in terms of content marketing. That's a phrase that people use a lot in the online world nowadays. And think in terms of SEO, or creating bait for Google, and you know.
And SEO stands search engine optimization. And that term's kind of misused a lot in internet. People get paid for SEO, and your website, it ends up being this big vague term. So we're going to talk about what you really should be doing in terms of.
Well, and the strategies have changed a lot. I mean, you know, I mean, I wrote a book on internet marketing in 1999.
Ancient times.
Yeah. When it was AltaVista, mm-hmm. GoTo, Yahoo was a directory. You were doing keyword spamming, and you're putting keywords under the photos, and you're, you know, all, you know, in hidden type, and so the world has changed dramatically on that side.
Although people are still sometimes building their web pages with those strategies.
Yeah, which Google really doesn't like it now, and may not have ever liked it, but they didn't find it.
Right. You know, it was nice and tricky.
Yeah. Yeah. But so let's start with content, and the logic of content is there's a lot of places that you can be found, and you can be found as an expert. And there are places that, even if they don't find you independently, once you have a prospect or you can run an ad to point them there, right? And think about two media that we use a lot, which is podcasting and YouTube. And here's the interesting thing I think about this. I in a different segment, I used the example of there's a marketing guru in this niche by the name of Dan Cooperell, real nice guy. And I first discovered him because I was on my holiday jaunt, as you know, of I listened to 150 podcasts of everybody kind of sort of doing what we do.
That's the kind of holiday he goes on.
And most of it was painful. Some of it was good. But like with Dan, very engaging, mostly good content. And then I ended up meeting him. But what happened is, by the time I met him, I felt like I already knew him, right? Because with watching a YouTube video, watching any video content, or listening to a podcast, whether you're watching them on video, which is better in my opinion, or whether you're listening to it, although most consumption on podcasts are still audio. Mm-hmm. Most consumption on video, I mean on YouTube, is video. But either way, it's a much more human and engaging way to interact with somebody. And there's also a contrast where you see people who are kind of stiff and try to be too professional. They kind of miss the point a lot of times. That the idea is to get your personality across and to be engaging, and frankly, perhaps to be polarizing, to be opinionated. If you look at the two top radio hosts in the last 20 years, it's Howard Stern and Rush Limbaugh, and you know, people who love
you can't get much more polarizing than those guys.
Yeah, people who love Howard love him, and people who hate him, and same with Rush, right? But what happens is with podcasting specifically, there's what? How many have we, posted on now? I don't know, 25 directories or something like that. You know, it's just a ton of different, what would be called directories, the RSS feed, without getting too complicated. But, you know, the 800-pound gorillas are, what would you say, Apple, Spotify, Google, maybe iHeartRadio, Pandora, right?
Yeah, so with the podcast, you host these on your website. That's one thing that's really important. And then these get pushed out to Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon.
Yeah, I'm missing.
And then a bunch of them. And it's okay, these are the big ones. Yeah. And what happens then is we want people to watch a podcast, so there's ways to push these out to the public and your prospects and your clients and other people. That's important because we want listeners, because that helps your Google ranking. But also, Google is indexing these platforms. And when Google indexes these platforms, it knows that they're connected to your podcast that's on your website. So this gives you authority it's called, it's kind of the main term now that, that's being used. It gives you more authority at, in terms of Google. Google thinks then your website is more important because you've got this podcast sitting on it that's connected to these big time websites. And because you're podcasting, let's say on a weekly basis or on a regular basis, that means that Google's saying, hey, this podcast is, you know, you're connected to these big time operators and it's going to be, it's updated. It's very recent. This is, you know, recurring content that's happening on a regular basis.
They're still alive.
Yeah. So it meets a couple criteria that's really important. One is your podcast is about the topics that people, you know, want to know about, like financial planning and retirement and whatever thing you particularly specialize in your niche, and that it's added content on a regular basis. Yeah. So that's why podcasting in terms of content is something we really like right now. If you'd asked us a couple years ago, podcasting wouldn't have been that big a deal, and it wouldn't have been added value for you to spend a lot of time doing this. Yeah. The nice thing about podcasting, I think, is also with people really familiar with, most of you all familiar with Zoom now, it's pretty damn easy to do a podcast.
It's unbelievably easy.
Yeah, you put a background up, not a virtual background. You just, you know, whatever. We've talked about being idiosyncratic and having some personality in a different segment. But, you know, wherever you're doing your meetings from normally, go on Zoom, hit record.
Well, who's the guy I like, but he's an acquired taste? Gary Vaynerchuk, whatever his name is. You know,
he swears every other word.
Yeah. But if you see his backdrop, I mean, it's very eclectic, and there's all this different stuff, and you know, when you're in a position of dealing with somebody's money, you want to make sure the image you're projecting doesn't look like a 14-year-old YouTuber, right? But still, you want to have your personality engaged with it, right? And most of what we see is so sterile, right? Is you want it to be engaging and memorable, and you know. You're talking about the hosting and pointing it out and the benefit for Google, but keep in mind all of these directories are also search engines, right? Yeah.
So you can get found here, it'll help you get found, your website get found as well.
Yeah. But I mean, most iPhone users probably pull up Apple's podcast platform. Maybe they use others. You know, Google's number one is Spotify actually, but then, you know, Google, and a lot of people use Amazon or iHeartRadio or whatever, but all of them are search platforms. So, and they'll go to, if you're not really familiar with the media, it's like an on-demand radio show in long form, right? So it's kind of like I tuned in to, you know, maybe a comparable as Sue Orsman's show or something like that. You know, I tuned into a show to learn about my retirement planning, or learn about my investment strategies, or whatnot. And there's a strategy for being found in here, and there's a strategy being found in here, and they both are not incompatible at all. In fact, the same strategy is for both. But I look at it this way: is each one of them are a strategy, and if somebody's listening to podcasts, and a lot of people are, right? I mean, Joe Rogan just made, $100 million?
Yeah, for his new contract.
Yeah. To move from YouTube to Spotify. Mm-hmm. And it's a big platform now. And admittedly, there's a ton of podcasts. And there's a ton of financial planner podcasts. But if you're creative in the title and in the topics and in the way you position it, people who are looking for something that is a problem that we can solve will find you, right? And I've heard advisors who predominantly use their podcast for their clients to stay engaged.
Yeah.
And I like that strategy a lot too, where you're listening to it every week, and they're, you know, rather than meeting once a year and having that be the only contact, or twice a year, is all of a sudden they feel like they know you and they're engaged with you, and they you know, they probably like your sense of humor and your personality already if they're already a client. But they stay engaged with you every week.
Yeah, and you can ask them to subscribe to your podcast as part of your normal onboarding process as a new client.
Yeah, but the other thing is, if you haven't done it before, all of this is free. The only thing that costs you anything is maybe a little bit of the hosting, but even that's super cheap nowadays.
Yeah, well, whoever's setting up your website can set you up with a podcast on your website as part of that. It's a little more programming.
Yeah, and from a content development standpoint, let's give you an example, right? So, like you and I both, but I don't like talk to a camera with a teleprompter, right? We don't write a script, and do that. Now you can, and if your compliance people require it, fine. But what we do is I'll always pull you or Mindy or Jeff or somebody and just have a conversation about a topic. Or you can find guests. And frankly, the more of a celebrity and the higher profile there are, the better, right?
Yeah, so if you know somebody that would be important to talk to, and it doesn't have to be somebody in the financial field. It could be somebody that you know in some other field that you just want to have a conversation about their finances. Could be somebody that's a client, and that might help promote their business as well. So the big point is you don't have to make this.
And by the way, somebody who has a big client base who's going to promote the interview, and it puts them on a pedestal, right? And why the heck do I care? They can promote whatever they want to do on the thing, right?
Yeah, you bet. Yeah. Well, and it could be, this is back to us building up your connections. It could be the CPA that you're really trying to do some work
with. Yeah, that circle of interest stuff,
That would be a better way to connect with them than maybe hoping that they sell your product, which is they're not going to do anyway.
Yeah, so, I have a financial podcast that serves the Seattle area, and I would you have a great reputation. I'd love to have you on the podcast, and we'll promote it out to all of my clients and promote it out to my listeners, because we have a little bit of a listener base as well, and so you line it all up, and at some point say, by the way, it might be really worthwhile to get it out to your client base, email, mail, whatever it might be, because I think that came out really well. And so, it's a real low barrier to entry if you're talking to somebody who has a client base that would be helpful for you, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. This is one of the easier ways to do it and a lot more effective than, hey, please refer your clients to me.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But then from a content development standpoint, and, we'll talk about, you should have a blog, and you should be doing podcasts, and you should be doing videos, and all this stuff. And you should have a book, and you should have free reports. But see, the content development piece of it really is pretty easy, because what you want to do is multi-purpose content, never single purpose. And again, the content that you put out can't be, you went to your vendor and pulled a bunch of their stuff, and you put it out on their website. Because that's all going to be duplicate content. It might be out there on 100 different sites. But
we should add on the blog.
What's that?
Well, we should add on blog too. Yeah, so this is video and audio content. Blogging is text content that should also be added on. And the nice thing is, once you do the podcast, you can get that transcribed.
Yeah, that's where I was going. Go ahead.
Well, we'll read mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get that transcribed for almost free. Cheap. I mean, very cheap. Online, and then this can be repurposed for your blog, and then this can turn into, during the podcast, you can also have photo content, and there's a tiny bit of complexity when you post this on your website. You need to make sure you tag it, which is important, which we don't need to spend a lot of time on this, but once you post photos, you can put attach text.
Yeah.
That's what tagging and meta tagging, you might have heard those terms. It's just attaching text to photos.
You might make a separate category, your YouTube channel.
Yeah, can go to a YouTube channel, exactly. but as far as on your website, podcasting, blogging, photos, and then down here would be YouTube separately.
Yeah. But from a standpoint of putting all this stuff together, right, is...
And then this can get repurposed here to Facebook.
Yeah.
All your text can get repurposed
LinkedIn.
To Facebook, to LinkedIn. And this can also get repurposed to these other platforms.
Yeah.
So you want to be able to take this content, and then really, there's not a lot of, it seems like we're telling you to do a ton of work, but if once a week you did a podcast and had it transcribed, that could turn into a blog. You could, photos may or may not come from your podcast, it just depends. This can then also go to YouTube, get posted on Facebook, get posted on LinkedIn. you know, our current website, for example, when we do a podcast, we can directly just shove it off to LinkedIn and Facebook without any extra work. It automatically goes to these platforms.
Yeah.
So there's
automatically goes to all of them. So you don't have to do a thing.
There's nothing to do. It automatically gets pushed. And then, so all of this stuff can happen relatively automatically or with very little extra work once you get it all set up.
And to say that again, so I set up a Zoom meeting with staff. I set up a Zoom meeting with a guest. I set up a Zoom meeting with a CPA
a or client.
Whatever it might be, a client. And then I just have a conversation. You know, I mean, it can be more formal interview or it can be we just have a conversation about the topic. And then I send it off to somebody like rev.com. I can send it off and they do not just a machine transcript. Doom will do that automatically. But a human being goes through and tweaks it and they're pretty good, right? And frankly, I could take the machine transcript and I hand it off to a writer. And you know, if I did 10 one-hour videos, that becomes 10 chapters in a book, and I just created a book.
Yeah.
So if I was doing one a week, as you were saying, that's a book every quarter that came from the podcast, right? But so I do the interview, I do the conversation. You know, you can make them 30 minutes, you can make them 45, you can make them an hour. Heck, you can do the 3-hour Rogan, you know, experience type of thing. But what you do then is you have a good transcript done, and then the transcript becomes blog post. It can be handed off to a writer, and then that can become chapters, reports. You know, it can be the free report they get. It can be a chapter in the book. There's a lot of different repurposing you can do with that now, right? But then I have the audio track that gets fed out into blog post. I have the video track that gets fed out into blog post. I have the video that becomes a YouTube addition to the YouTube channel. And you start putting all this stuff together and all of a sudden you have a bunch of content out there. So like everywhere people look, they start stumbling across you, right? And sometimes we discount, you know, I keep reminding people that one of the elements, we have search marketing, but we also have like checking you out and validating, right? We have seen, especially women, 80% are going to go Google you before they become a client.
Yeah, and that's an important stat because a lot of times we think if we do Facebook marketing, it drives them to a landing page, and you're getting a lot of people selling you Facebook marketing.
Yeah, or direct mail or a referral.
Yeah, so the 80% of people are still going to Google you.
Yeah.
So you could do all this other marketing that you think is driving traffic to you, and you will get results.
Yeah, yeah.
And you will get results from it. And so you think, well, okay, I'm spending money, I'm getting results, it's all working good. But a lot of people are still seeing you and then Googling you, and they may find other people if you're not doing this stuff right.
As you know, I used to spend a fortune on TV. And I knew that if I wasn't, I mean, this is a long time ago, if I wasn't in the right place in the Yellow Pages, all I was going to be doing is buying traffic from my competitors.
Yeah, so think about that example before internet was really a thing. Yeah. If you spent a lot of money on TV, you would get calls. So let's say out of, you know, 10 people that saw you, 4 of them called you. And you'd think, well, my TV's working because I got 4 phone calls. But 6 of them looked in the Yellow Pages. And when they looked in the Yellow Pages, they found somebody else because you weren't the most prominent person. They found the most prominent person.
Or they found me because I was, and I still helped all my competitors.
Well, in your case, you were because you knew this. But the point is if you're not...
My competitors all bugged me on when I was going to be back on TV because they knew they bleed over here.
Yeah, but the point is, what you've got to understand is if you're not good at content and search so that you're found in lots of other places, the money you might spend on this Facebook marketing, which is kind of the equivalent of TV in some ways, then you're missing out on not 60%, but 80% of the potential target. Now, in some of them, it might be lower, and some of them, it might be higher, depending on the type of marketing of which ones would then Google you.
Yeah.
But it's a pretty high percentage. I think the lowest percent is 40% of different kinds of marketing, and the highest is 80%. So somewhere between 40% and 80% of people, when they see you on some other media, are going to go search for you.
Well, and it's got interesting skews. I mean, there is a male-female skew. There's an age skew in one thing or another. But it's a lot.
Yeah. Either way, it's a lot.
Yeah. It's enough to be really worried about and to be focused on. And again, imagine they go and Google you, and you don't show up. I mean, you're a ghost. I mean, well, that's a bad sign. But imagine they Google you, and all they find is, you know, one Google rating that's a 3, and they find kind of inaccurate information on your Google local listing, and then they find a website that's brochureware. And I'd say that's, and maybe they find your LinkedIn profile or something, right? And that's really typical of you know, otherwise fairly smart advisors who just don't understand how all this stuff works is, you know, I want it to be, they Google me and they're gonna find, you know, great content on the website. They're gonna find, you know, free offers, free things to take advantage of. They're gonna find a bunch of podcasts. They're gonna find videos, YouTube videos. They're gonna find all kinds of different blogs. They're gonna find the LinkedIn profile, but they're also gonna find, you know, news articles. They're gonna find PR web type of releases. They're gonna find all of that kind of stuff. And they, you know, what somebody's reaction is if they find you like 32 times, they go, wow, this is the expert, right? This guy is everywhere, this gal is everywhere. On the other hand, if it's like a mediocre rating, a mediocre website, and you know, maybe you have a LinkedIn profile that you put a mugshot picture up on and you barely filled completed, they're like, well, this doesn't look like, you know, somebody very, very credible.
Well, and even that's the worst case. I mean, even the average case is you just look like everybody else. Mm-hmm. If you just look like everybody else, you're going to be everybody else. And then all your marketing that you spent, you're just rolling the dice. Yeah. They may pick you at this point. They went down a different path. They Googled you. So let's say it's 40%. 40% of your marketing got thrown out the door on a roll of the dice of maybe you're going to look the best, yeah, and maybe you won't even show up. So it's really critical. We can't think that just throw, and it could be 80%. So throwing money at paid marketing, it's good to do. We do, yeah, suggest you do that. That's a whole other segment.
Yeah, effectively.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people not doing that effectively. But this stuff is very critical. And it really isn't a lot of work once you get it set up and rolling. And it can be repurposed to a lot of other things.
Yeah. And so when you really go through and... Yeah, I think you were being generous. That almost wasn't a worst case scenario. That was pretty much like the normal.
The normal case,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's you know, if you're looking at the bell curve, you know, that's like 70%. And it, you know, it might be they, you know, they have people who like them, but you know, having 4 Google reviews and having brochureware as a website.
Yeah, what we mean by that is, yeah, this isn't our segment for websites, but brochureware on a website is a website that doesn't have an offer, doesn't convert well. Well, there's 2 parts to that. One is,
well, literally the term came from is it looks like an old trifold brochure.
Right.
It's like an old color corporate brochure that had no selling.
Right, but the first problem number one would be you pay a bunch of money for marketing, for Facebook marketing or AdWords marketing, but then they Google you. And well, AdWords, they'd be Googling you anyway, but they look at your listing and they don't find you, number one. That would be problem number one. You don't get found. Problem number two is you get found, but when they look at you, you look like everybody else, yeah, or you look boring.
Yeah.
Those 2 things have got to be fixed, and this is how you fix it. So this helps you get found, and it makes you get found in a lot more places. That's problem number one you're trying to solve. Number two is when they land on your website, it's got to do something. So. Yeah. So those are things.
And it's one of the advantages of going and getting good PR and publicity, mm-hmm, is all of that stuff becomes incoming links. It becomes places where you show up. It becomes credible sources where they find you when you're looking at it. But let's on all of this stuff, and you mentioned outside Facebook, you know, suppliers and so forth. You know what my pet peeve is that it really feels to me like everyone who's trying to sell you something has never sold anything themselves, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Is if you take, you know, the Facebook company, you take the LinkedIn company, you take the, especially, you know, website development.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a technical person interacting and developing the ads, but they haven't done belly-to-belly, face-to-face sales, right? You utilize, talk about Gary Havard and Dan Kennedy again. You know, they say, you know, all great direct response marketers started with face-to-face, belly-to-belly sales, whether it was knocking on doors and selling, like I really dated myself. I used to have a newspaper called Grit, and I went door-to-door and
that
sold Grit,
remember,
right?
Yeah.
And then I did health club sales and then karate school sales, but all was... especially health club, high intensity, belly to belly, you know, face to face sales.
You got to hear no's, you got to hear,
Yeah, but if somebody doesn't have that background, they don't have a sense of how do I persuade, how do I move somebody forward, and they don't have a sense of how, what the urgency is, right? I mean, you know, if you're doing door to door sales, but if you're doing, you know, health club, as we know, martial arts schools, you either like get them or you don't, right? And we know about the process of qualification of walking through, but I got to tell you, you know, when I did my podcast blitz, oh my God, most of the people who were even doing a podcast obviously don't know how to sell. They were like non-engaging. They were dry. And by the way, there's a lot of them who were like interviewing the CRM. Guy pitching the CRM system,
right,
pitching
something. Right.
And those guys were like the worst, right? Is we all know, I mean, if you're successful already as an advisor, you're doing face-to-face, belly-to-belly sales. But you know what it takes to be persuasive and you know what it takes to be engaging. And if you have that skill set already, you can be a superstar podcaster, right? You just want to not assume that it's a different environment.
Yeah, the message is be the way you are when you have a new client, how you talk to them, and how you'd make sure that you get them to work with
and
how you podcast.
And same thing with YouTube, right? Same thing with social media. Same thing with a book, right?
Yep.
I mean, if you think of a book, and as you know, I've got a stack, you know, it would, you know, if it was it was on shelves, it'd fill that back wall. Of books by financial advisors decided to be lead magnets, but, you know, books by people like, you know, like us, I guess, but, you know, trying to tell if I, man, that's almost all so freaking dry, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what makes it engaging is stories, personality, backstories. I mean, I don't know how many billions that the Marvel franchise has done, you know, now that Disney owns it, but the key to all of these comic books and the key to the movies is it's the origin story, right? It's how did Batman become Batman? How did Spider-Man become Spider-Man? How did Iron Man become Iron Man? How did, you know, and you know, that series I'm forced to suffer through right now.
What if?
Yeah. You know,
at 3 a.m.
Yeah, one of them was, you know, what if Iron Man didn't get captured to begin with, and he hadn't made the first iron suit while he's trying to escape from the Taliban or whoever it was, right? And
don't spoil it for people.
Well, that's just the opening scene,
okay?
Right? And it ends up this whole evolution of how everything changed, and he becomes a superhero.
Okay,
but see, that's what makes it, right? It's the humanization, and also, frankly, if you look at the difference between DC and Marvel, not stay on comics, but Marvel has done a much better job with backstory.
Well, backstory and making it personal,
right,
and making it humorous, and making it human.
Yeah.
And that's what you put in the podcast. The other thing I was going to say in terms of putting in your content is don't be afraid to share all your stuff.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times we talk to people and they say, well, I don't want to give away my secrets to retirement. And first of all, there ain't that many secrets in the world. And if you've got a special webinar or a special seminar you teach that you think is perfect, and that's going to help get people to set appointments with you and become clients of yours, great. Share all that stuff. Just put it into segments and put that into your podcast. And you can teach generalities. I mean, there probably aren't the world's biggest secrets that you, if you think there's something super secret that you only can tell somebody one-on-one, go ahead and save that. But probably it's not. And go ahead and share those things in the podcast. It's okay to have all your information available. I mean, I think people think some things are proprietary when they really don't need to be proprietary. And
it's more likely they'll decide That's why they want you to
You're the expert and you're the best. Yeah. That's what you're trying to accomplish with this. And they want to trust you with their money and trust you with the future because you're the expert. That's the goal, is not being the keeper of the secrets.
Yeah, and we haven't gotten into all the technical stuff, how you feed that out and so forth. But really, I mean, we work with our clients on that. It's a pretty straightforward process once you figure it out. It's not straightforward if you don't know how to do it, but it's a pretty straightforward process. But you know, let's leave it at that. Is think in terms of all this kind of different content is much easier than you would think. And it's not laborious. If you're not a great writer, you're probably a good talker. And so you talk it out, you interview, have a conversation. And with all of the podcast material, the YouTube, Facebook, and everything, you know, the big companies, like, God, their social media presence is so stale, right?
Yeah.
Is, you know, at best, they act like they're Newsweek magazine, rather than it's a human being sharing interesting information. You want to act like you're a human being. You want to be a human being. You want to be fallible. You want to be unique. You want to be idiosyncratic. You want to push your personality out. And you want to be willing. You've got to be willing to be polarizing, right? So, you know, I mean, be strategic on that. But the people who are attracted to you will be really attracted to you. What we think is, if everybody likes me, that's useful. Well, everybody liking you is milk toast.
Yeah, everybody liking you, it means you're like everybody else. Yeah. It means you're boring. Yeah. Only boring people are liked by everybody. You want to be loved by some people. That's what your goal is.
Yeah.
So be special, and your goal is to be special and an expert, not to be like everybody else. Yeah. But that's what the content focus should be, and we'll help you make this easier for you.
Yeah.
But it's got to be out there, and this is really a high priority for you.
I think on that note, we'll wrap this one up, and we've really enjoyed being here.